Let us turn our Bibles to Daniel chapter 7. So we just want to continue with the Daniel series. We covered from chapter 1 to chapter 6. But now we are in chapter 7. And for much of what we talked in the first six chapters, it was more of exhortations, encouragements. But from chapter 7 to chapter 12, our focus is on prophecy. And this morning, we shall cover
Munokachero
verse 1 and verse
2.
And we are looking at the rise and the fall of different empires.
Tulelo lesha pakuima no kuwa kwasha mfumusha pusana pusana.
Shall we read Daniel chapter 7, verse 1? In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. May the good Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. So this is how we shall proceed. My sharing will have two parts this morning. It's a teaching. So you may want to write down something. First, in the first part, we shall look at criticisms which people have raised against Daniel, the book of
Daniel.
And in the second part, we shall look at what is written in verse 2. The four winds upon the sea. Now look at this. If you have a Bible, I want you to read the first sentence of verse 1. At the count of three, we shall all read. I want to hear you. Daniel 7, verse 1.
Daniel 7, verse 1.
1, 2, 3. Shall we read? In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. Just end there. In the first year of who?
Mumwaka wa kubalira po wa kwa nani?
King Belshazzar.
Mfumu Belshazzar.
And right there, we need to say something.
Na po tualanda po chimo.
You see, the book of Daniel.
Ibuku lya kwa Daniel.
Has been attacked. Maybe more attacked than the other books. You know the reason? The prophecies in Daniel are so specific and very precise. So some people had an idea to say, this person must have lived after these events already happened. That's why he was so accurate. You know, Daniel foretold the rise of Babylon, the rise of Persia, the rise of Greece.
Daniel alandire pakuima kwa Babylon, pakuima kwa
Persia.
Greece, Persia na Greece.
And when you look at what he prophesied on Greece,
he talked
about a king who will be in Greece, very powerful man.
And
he said after that king dies, there will be four who will rise in his place.
And when
you read history,
that's
exactly what
happened.
After Alexander the Great died, there were four generals who divided the empire into four.
And
now, let us look at one criticism. Why they say it was written after the said events.
One
criticism is focused on the name you are just from reading.
The name
Belshazzar.
We'll
talk more on it as we move on. But I want us to first look at the man who was very much known to attack the book of Daniel.
His
name was Porphyry. So the first one we're going to look at is Porphyry of
Tyre.
He came from a country called
Tyre.
And he lived about 230 years after Jesus Christ. Another person we'll look at who is well known to have criticized the book of Daniel is a university professor by the name of Ferdinand Hitzig.
Uyu ni Professor Ferdinand Hitzig
from German.
Waku German.
Now, here it is. If what these critics said was true, it means this Bible is not reliable. These are not simple men. Porphyry and Professor Hitzig.
Porphyry, no, you Professor Ferdinand Hitzig.
These were powerful thinkers of their time. Respected scholars. If what they said is true, then the Bible is not reliable. But do you know what the Bible says in 2 Timothy
3:16?
Let us read 2 Timothy chapter
3 and verse 16.
Altogether, all scripture is given. I can't hear some of you. If you believe what you are writing, can we read together? All scripture is given by what?
Inspiration of God.
Now,
number.
If I write a book today, I have to research. I may need to interview some people. So if I write a book, it will be my thoughts, it will be my ideas. But here, Apostle Paul says, the scriptures which you are reading right now, they were not written like that. Every word was led by the Holy Spirit. Meaning, it cannot contain error. Because God can't make a mistake. So Paul here tells us all scripture, not some of the scriptures, but all scripture was given by inspiration. When you look at that word inspiration in the Greek, it means in breast. Meaning every word was given by the breath of God. The breath or the speaking of God has no error. Now, do you realize that Jesus recognized the book of Daniel? People like Porphyry or Ferdinand Hitzig, I mean, they knew Jesus Christ was there. He was a true historical figure. Now, this Jesus, in Matthew 24, he tells us, remember the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Meaning Jesus recognized the book of Daniel, right? But you know, Hitzig will say, well, maybe he doesn't believe in Jesus. So how are we going to have a discussion with Hitzig? You know the beauty with the truth of God? You don't need to defend it. It defends itself. It's either you believe it or you don't believe it. So now, let us look at who these men are. And I hope by looking at who these men are, I hope the Spirit of God through this message will minister something to your heart. Let us look at Porphyry of Tyre. Who was he? This man lived at a time when Christians were being persecuted during the Roman Empire. Now remember, Daniel had prophesied that four empires will rise. There'll be Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And Daniel, in his visions, he said, during the time of the fourth empire, there will be a stone cut, not with human hands. It will come to destroy these world kingdoms. So when Babylon came and went, people who heard the prophecies of Daniel were counting. When they read Daniel chapter 8, they saw what Daniel prophesied concerning the Medo-Persian Empire. And so when people saw that whatever Daniel was speaking was coming to pass, they revered his writings. And then when it was time for Greece, remember, Daniel said Greece will be like a leopard with four heads. And exactly, that's how the Grecian Empire ended up. When Alexander died, his four commanders, his four army generals, they divided the empire among themselves. There was Ptolemy, There was Cassander. There was Lysimachus. There was Seleucus. Four powerful generals. And people were able to see how accurate Daniel was. So when the Grecian Empire collapsed and the fourth empire started rising, Rome. You know what Jews felt like? Daniel was a true prophet. He told us about Greece and it happened like that. And they were able to count. 1, 2, 3, 4. So now, it was not just the Jews who were interested in Daniel, but even those who were pagans who lived in Babylon, who lived at the time when people revered Daniel. Remember when Daniel had interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar? Do you know what Nebuchadnezzar called Daniel? Master of the magicians. Is that so? Hello?
Amen.
You read it. It's in the Bible. Nebuchadnezzar called Daniel the master of the magicians. Nebuchadnezzar bowed before Daniel. Because he was a pagan. And he saw this supernatural power and he believed there was a God. There were gods in Daniel. So all those who were magicians, all those who were wise men, all those who were powerful men, Daniel was respected above all those people. Even when Belshazzar had seen a handwriting on the wall, you know what they said? Let us call Daniel. Because in him dwells the spirits of the gods. So even after Daniel died, many years afterwards, you have astrologers, you have magicians, they respected the writings of Daniel. Because they could see things come to pass. So when the Roman Empire came, the wise men, that's how they were called in Babylon, you know? They were interested of what will happen now. Will that stone cut without hands come? Will the Messiah arise out of Israel? And there was that star which appeared. They started following it. They believed that was pointing to the fulfilling of Daniel's prophecies. There may not have been believers of the Judeo faith, but something in them taught them the fulfillment has come. In Israel, the Jews were also in high expectation that the kingdom which Daniel prophesied may appear anytime. So one day, they heard a man preaching. John the Baptist. And he was a prophet. You know what the Bible says? The whole country of Judea started going there. This was a poor man. dressed in a strange way, out in the wilderness. But men from the cities started going down to see him. Politicians started going down there. Why was it so? There was anxiety in the country. Is this the time that the Roman Empire is going to be crushed by a Messiah who will rise out of Israel? You remember when John was preaching? The Roman soldiers went there. The Pharisees went there. And they asked, "Are you the Messiah?" How many have read about that? Do we understand where it is coming from? What was the question? Are you the Messiah? Why? They were expecting something to happen. Let us fast forward the story. Jesus came, performed miracles, great things, healings. Oh, people said, he is the one. You remember when he was entering Jerusalem? People took their clothes, put them in the road, made him ride on a donkey, and they called him the King of Israel, the Prince of Israel. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Pharisees looked at that. The Roman authorities looked at that. Roman authorities were getting concerned. This man may cause a riot. People who think now they are the Messiah to fight for independence. So, you have to understand the ministry of Jesus was misunderstood in different ways. Many Jews were following him because they thought he was a political Messiah. He will overthrow the Roman government and God will use him to become the new king of Israel. But you know what happened? The Pharisees were enemies to Jesus. And when they saw people call him king, they said, we are going to use this now to implicate him to the Roman authorities. Because the Roman authorities did not want a riot. They were tired of that. Every now and then people would cause riots trying to fight for independence from the Roman Empire. And whoever is caught doing that, they would punish him with maximum punishment, treason. You know, if today I declare myself, I'm the one who is the president of Zambia, they will arrest me, right? Is that so? So the Pharisees now say, let us tell the Roman authorities that this man calls himself king. So Jesus was reported. You know the story. When they crucified him, you know what Pilate wrote there? Who remembers what Pilate wrote on the cross? Yes, Christian? Yes. He says, the King of the Jews. And he wrote it in Hebrew, he wrote it in Latin, so that everyone can see. Ask yourself, why did Pilate write those words? Whoever looks at that In case you are the next person who wants to put up a revolt, to present yourself like you are a political liberator of Israel, this is how you end up. You'll be punished like that. Now, Jesus resurrected. Then some people started saying, no, they just stole his body. Now, you know what was the signature of Jesus' ministry? He used to pray for the sick. They used to be healed. He used to pray for the blind. They would see. Whenever people hear, oh, someone was dead, he has been raised, they will know, let us go where Jesus is. There are miracles happening. And these apostles started preaching, telling the people, Jesus is alive. We saw him. And his power is with us. And one day, Peter and John, they are walking. They found a lame person. He's begging for money. And you know what he said? Silver and gold we do not have. But in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the man walked. Do you know what message that miracle sent around? It was proof that Jesus is not dead. Because there was a continuity of the work he used to do, and when people just call on his name, something was happening. Then now what started happening? A persecution now started. When the Pharisees heard that, when the Roman authorities heard that, they started arresting the apostles, beating them up. By the time you come to the time of periphery, Christians were killed. They would be butchered. The Roman Empire wanted to wipe out the Christian testimony. But the more they killed Christians, the more they multiplied. Now, this is what Christians started believing. They started comforting themselves by reading the prophecy of Daniel. Because Daniel prophesied that the fourth empire shall persecute the saints. And Christians could see they were being persecuted. You know what gave them encouragement? The prophecy Daniel said that at the end of this fourth empire, there will be one who will come. The King of Kings, right? The Messiah.
You
crush these man-made kingdoms. So the book of Daniel offered encouragement. Because even Jesus told them, when you see the abomination which Daniel speaks, by speaking that, believers took interest to read what Daniel said, for them to understand what Jesus was warning them about. So when this man, he was a philosopher, he started looking at how believers were encouraging themselves. So he decided to start criticizing the book of Daniel. So he wrote a writing titled Against the Christians. You can find it on the internet. He denounced the book of Daniel as a forgery. He started telling the Christians, that book you are trying to encourage yourselves with, it's a forgery, it's not a true book. The prophecies were written after they were fulfilled. You know, when God reveals something to you and there's something to help you move on through, Satan will raise a contradicting voice to disturb your faith. So periphery started attacking the Bible. And, you know, among the things, now listen to this. I want you to listen to this. I am reading this from the recent book I published. Titled Notes on Daniel. I think you can find this on page 144, somewhere there.
Page 144.
Now, I want you to notice what periphery did. In his work against the Christians, he argued that the book of Daniel was written during the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes of the Seleucid dynasty, after the events were already fulfilled. Now, let me quote some words periphery wrote. He's not just attacking the book of Daniel, he is attacking the Bible itself. Now, listen to what periphery says. For example, he challenged the book of Genesis. You know, he was a powerful philosopher and people just believed him. Now listen to what periphery wrote. The world, according to Moses, was created at a certain time and has from its commencement existed from a period far short of 10,000 years. The world, however, is without a beginning. In consequence of which, there have been from all eternity many configurations. Now, let me explain this.
Periphery
said the book of Genesis is false. Because in that book, Moses wrote that the world has, or the universe has a beginning. Now, you know, in that time, there used to be powerful philosophers like Aristotle. Even to this day, in the universities, the students of philosophy still read Aristotle.
Because
these were great philosophical minds. You know, and all these philosophers taught that the universe has been eternal. It never had a beginning. It's always been the way it is. And periphery comes around and says, you see, this Bible is not reliable because Moses says the world had a beginning, the universe had a beginning, when we know by philosophy, for example, of Aristotle, there's never been such a thing. Now, in the time of periphery, there used to be a Christian saint. Some of you have read about him, Saint Jerome. You know, those were people who started reading what periphery is speaking, and they were offering counter arguments. Jerome was a Christian, but a scholar as well. And he rose to defend the faith. Do you know that whenever Satan raises a flood, God will always raise up a standard? If there is a periphery who thinks he is educated, God will raise a tool that will be able to raise a standard against that thing. God can use an ignorant, uneducated man like William Branham. He is the same God who can raise a professor like Martin Luther. Remember, the tree of life is guarded by four living creatures: the lion. That's the authority of God's word, which was manifested through the apostolic ministry. God can raise an ox anointing. The way believers yielded and died under persecution. Perseverance. But the Bible also says there was the face of a man around the throne of God. Because God is the author of whatever science can discover. It's God who put it there. That is why you have a man like Isaac Newton. The other day I was listening to this powerful scientist. They were interviewing him. And he was asked, whom do you think is the greatest scientist of all time? He said, there's no doubt, it's Newton. Because all the other scientists in our time you can talk about, whether it's Einstein or whoever it is, they build on the foundation of Newton. And he says, even when Newton said, what I've discovered is by standing on the shoulders of giants, he says he was just being humble. He did much of the work from scratch. And this great Isaac Newton said, if I look at the precision of all the laws and the universe, they proceeded from a super intellect. And he needs to be worshipped as the Lord God. I salute a man like that. Amen.
Amen.
So now, God will always raise a standard. And we see in the time of periphery, there was Saint Jerome, a scholar. But a spiritual man as well. He rose to defend the faith. Using theological reasoning. And he was also good at history. And so this Jerome tried to refute Porphyry's claims. But here is something I want to mention to you. Porphyry was so sure of his views. Because this man was educated. He was even sure that the universe had no beginning. And he used that argument to say the Bible can't be relied on because it speaks about a beginning. But you know, after 2,000 years, you know what science has discovered today. Science, not philosophy. Science. In the 1920s, you have these scientists who looked through the galaxies and observed that the universe is actually expanding. Later on, you have another scientist by the name of Arno Penzias, who accidentally detected what they call the afterglow, the heat which remained after there was a big explosion, known as the Big Bang. These are Nobel laureates. They're not simple men. Then later on you have three mathematicians, Bode, Guth, and Willenken. I'm mentioning these names so that you can have time to search them out on your own. These mathematicians came up not just with observable evidence, but with mathematical proof. That the universe actually had a beginning, and they have the mathematical proof for that. Now, these men are not believers. And Professor Willenken wrote a book. And in there he says, we now have no excuse. As scientists, we need to face the problem of a cosmic beginning. You know why they call it a problem? Because if the universe has a beginning, that point of the beginning is when time started. It's where space started. It is where space, time, and all these things started. Now, according to the law of cause and effect, anything which begins is caused by something. So if time was caused to begin, whoever caused it to begin is himself outside time. Is that correct? You can't cause time to get started if you are not in time yourself. It brings us to the words which an uneducated man wrote. In the beginning was the Word. John had no degree in physics. Moses had no degree in astronomy. But they wrote what they were inspired by God. Correcting the errors these scientists were talking about, these philosophers were talking about. That is why never be too sure of your man-made ideas, like the way Porphyry was too sure. But do you know many students in his time, they did not believe in the Bible because of his teachings? And later on, science itself disapproved him. We need to fear God. Now look at this. That is Porphyry. We'll come back to his criticism against Daniel. But let's look at another man who is very much known of attacking the book of Daniel. His name, Ferdinand Hitzig. Now this one has an interesting background to him. He lived in the 19th century. Died in 1875. Now, he was the son of a pastor. The pastor, was, I mean, the father was a theologian. So even him decided to study theology. But now, he lived at a time when himself and those who belonged to his ideas, they didn't believe in the supernatural. Now, let's first look at his profile. He studied theology. Then later, you know, this was in Germany. He became what you call a privatdozent. Now that's a term you would find in German. Today we can call it associate professor. That's what that term means, but mainly used in German. So for you to be a privatdozent, it means you are very good with research skills. You have a doctorate degree, and maybe you haven't yet become a professor. But the university has recognized your powerful, your exceptional skills, and so they confer you to be a private docent. They grant you the power to teach students because you have exceptional skills. And so he became a private docent in theology. He studied the Bible. He studied the history. And when he stands and begins to talk, oh my, he could shake things up. People would take stories which were written in history. And when Ferdinand speaks, people would discard things and say, no, I think the correct historical account is what Ferdinand has said, because he could reconstruct history. Until later on in 1833, they gave him, they conferred him Professor Ordinarius. Professor Ordinarius is now full professorship at the famous University of Zurich. You know his focus? Criticizing books in the Bible. He believed in God. But whenever he read passages talking about the supernatural, he tried to find a way to explain them away of not being authentic. Now, Teddy, take me to the next screen. Hitzig belonged to the 19th century German critical school, which approached the scripture through these four items you're looking at. They prided themselves as people who can criticize things. They had no fear of any sacred thing you could present them. They believed they can dissect it and reconstruct history. They majored in linguistic analysis, so they could take the book of Daniel, say, oh, look at chapter 1, it was written using this language. Chapter 2, there's a difference in language. Maybe, therefore, there are different authors here. So they could take a writing, dissect it, and tell you where are the errors and where are the correct things. One thing about their approach also, they didn't believe anything which carried the language of supernatural things. They didn't believe in that. So they preferred natural explanations. So when you say Jesus raised from the dead, they say, no, it can't be. Let us investigate who was guarding the tomb. There must be a natural explanation. Do we understand where Hitzik is coming from? Because you need to understand the man before you investigate the works he's doing. Do you know if you walk on that through that door and you've come with an idea to say those people are a cult, and you come wanting to find out the wrong things we teach, do you know you walk out of this place with a book full of errors you've observed? Because you've come with a mind to spot error. Your attitude depends, determines what you get from what you are observing. So when this man saw believers talking about prophecies of Daniel, and his belief was there is no supernatural thing, he wanted to find a way to explain how this man who wrote the book of Daniel must have already written them after the stories were already fulfilled. So as he was reading the book of Daniel, he came across the name Belshazzar. Brother Teddy? So he came across that name Belshazzar. So what did Hitzik do? He thought, I've never seen that name in any history book. Because he read Babylonian history. He read all the different names in Babylonian history, and Belshazzar was a name he could not see. So you know what he said? The book of Daniel is a false book. Because it is the only book which mentions the name Belshazzar. All the other historical records, they don't mention that name. Therefore, the book of Daniel is a fake. It's a forgery. It's very dangerous to be overconfident over things. And he used that to say, the book of Daniel must have been written at a later date. That is why the author is not familiar with the real Babylonian history. Can you imagine that? Daniel himself lived during the time of Babylon. So this man finds the name Belshazzar. And he says, no, I haven't read this book, Belshazzar, in other writings. Therefore, this fake author called Daniel, he was a forger. He didn't know proper history. Can you imagine? You are arguing with a person who lived in the empire you are studying. But you know what? Hitzik was a powerful scholar, powerful professor, and a lot of people did not believe in Daniel because of his writings. But a big bang happened in 1881 and through 1854. You know what happened? That thing was discovered. As people are digging in the ground in that Middle Eastern world where Babylon used to be, this stone was discovered. It is called the Nabonidus cylinder by historians. And you know what is written on that stone? You see those writings? There is a phrase which say, Belshazzar, my eldest son. For the first time, historians found the name Belshazzar as a king. And it shook departments of history in universities. Scholars went back to their writings to say, oh my, this is the name we've been denouncing. And the book of Daniel was respected again as an authentic book. You know, one day Jesus said, if the people keep quiet, the stones will cry. God had this stone buried, telling us once again, this is the word of God. The stones cried out. And it was breaking news around the world. The world of historians. So when you go on the internet, there are many writings which will show you the Nabonidus cylinder proved Professor Ferdinand wrong. In universities, you just say, oh, let us update our records. But in heaven, you have a case to answer. Because there are people who died believing Ferdinand spoke the truth. You can't know everything. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I believe your confidence on the book of Daniel has grown further. I hope by looking at what we've looked at, you even have more confidence. Amen. And so let us move to verse 2 now. I know, we believed in the Bible even before the Nabonidus cylinder because there's so much evidence to it. But it is important to know the evidences where your faith rests on for you to have the confidence that it's true. The Bible says we must have an answer when critics come. We must have an answer for the reason of our faith. Amen. So we are going to conclude on this note. When you read Daniel chapter 7 verse
2,
before we go to verse 2, let's just read verse 1 again. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. So whatever we are reading about Daniel, these are visions. Visions and dreams. Now when you mention visions and dreams, there is so much counterfeit today. Someone will say, no, I had a vision, I had a dream. And sometimes people lie in the name of the Lord. We saw much of that when we were in charismaticism. But you and I know we've come to the message of the hour. And we know how true gifts look like. And here Daniel, in verse 2, spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. How many winds?
Four.
Four winds. So he's seeing this vision, and he sees four winds, you know, troubling the sea, troubling the sea. As we shall see next Sunday, as the four winds started steering that sea, troubling it, beasts started coming out. What does that mean, saints? Daniel was told these beasts are kingdoms of the world. How many winds were there? Four. How many beasts came out? Four. That lets us know something. These empires were not just happening on their own. There are spiritual forces behind. Do you know politics are in the hands of Satan? Did you know that? Are you seeing what's happening in America and in Europe? You know what America is going through? Is something which would never happen in the previous administrations. But you wonder how one man can have so much power and causing the tides to cause things to shake up. Here is something. Politics are influenced by demonic forces. When Trump was rising to power, he said this would be the golden era of America. And there's rising tension between the USA and Europe. What is in Trump's mind? The golden era of America. But hear me. Before a fall, there's always pride. Watch where this thing is heading to. You know what Malachi 4 says. America is actually isolating itself. And as a believer, don't get mixed up in politics, supporting this, supporting that. We don't belong to this system of things. We know true peace will come through the King of Kings. It's not Trump who will bring peace to this world. It's not the NATO forces. Don't let your emotions get shaken up by things of this world. Open your ears and hear what the voice of prophecy in the present truth has already told us about where things are heading up to. The world is being shaken up. And be prayerful. It is my prayer as we get into the series of the rise and fall of kingdoms that you listen to this series of messages prayerfully to inform you where are we in prophecy. Shall we stand? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are reading your word which has been attacked by different men over time. But we know it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Some people called it ancient. Some people called it was written by ignorant men. But these ignorant men wrote about the beginning of the universe way before the modern scientific discoveries, when it was fashionable to align with what philosophers have spoken. These men wrote that in the beginning was the Word. And here we stand reading these ancient words, and we know they are not just ancient, but they are inspired. We don't want to be a people who grope in the dark, wondering what the news will tell us next. For Lord, you've told us things that are to come. And we can see the four winds striving upon the sea. We can see the tides getting looser and looser. May we not be caught up as a foolish people, as a foolish virgins who have not oil to provide them light. May we have light to see where we are in time. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon him who has backslidden, him who has forsaken prayer, for we are living in unusual times. And now, Lord, we were warned. We were warned to watch the King of the North. And we know what we read in the messages when the prophet turned and he saw that terrible explosion and there was nothing but debris and crater. We pray for our brothers and sisters who are in that part of the world that they shall be spiritual and they shall walk in the Spirit and be able to hear the instructions of the Spirit. For we are living in unusual times. Even when we were in Noah the other time, when a prophecy went forth, that we are living in the last days and we ought to walk wisely. So Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray with thanks in our hearts. Amen.